Let's talk.
Oh, now I'm recording. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that online. We had a thing, but we're recording now, and you're back. So good. All right. So, as I was saying, a couple things. We go into this fifth chapter. That's very important. Names are important. Timelines are important, and context is important. Context is related to history. And again, we remind you that depending on when it was written, you have to receive it when it was written and the context that it was written. And I always say to whom it was initially written. Certainly all the scripture is written to all of us, but you know, it's many times it's directed. Sometimes it's to the Jews, sometimes it's to the Gentiles, sometimes it's to the whole world. So you gotta know those things. Now, saying that, we go into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, we have a genealogy given to us. Basically, the first complete genealogy that has a beginning, a definite beginning and a definite end. Later on, this same genealogy, I believe it's in the book of Luke, you'll see the same genealogy back all the way back from Jesus to Adam. Now, one of the things as we begin to look at this genealogy here, and I give the people here a chart. Sorry, online, I don't have a chart for you, but we can get it to you if you want, Donna. That's what it kind of looks like. If you want to look at that chart real quick, and I'll reference it. The reason I put this chart together is so sometimes we want to know, you know, we say, well, who lived when who lived? And so what you see is that Adam lived 930 years on there, okay? Now, that means that Adam was still alive all the way until the father of Noah. So the father of Noah knew Adam. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking up to Adam and saying, hey, great, 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 grandpa. You know, when you live that many years. Adam died before Noah came on the scene. But Noah's dad got to see him. And then we see Methuselah, who lived 969 years, the oldest recorded living person. Again, when you see that. He died the year the flood happened. And he actually outlived his son, Noah's dad, Lamech. Okay? So put that little chart there. I got that little chart. I didn't put it together. I got it off the line for you. Just so you can kind of get an idea of this genealogy and the timing. And you can actually see when these guys lived. So pretty much all these guys until the flood got, they actually met Noah face, excuse me, Adam face to face. Except for Noah. So that gives you kind of an idea on this timeline. Yeah, Pete.
Okay, they say Seth, 130. So are you saying Adam was 130 years old when Seth was
born? Yeah, we'll see that here. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, he came. Well, basically, he came in. They're saying he was 130 years old. So. Again, Noah is the excuse me, Adam. Oh, I'm gonna get these names mixed up. Adam is the interesting one because we don't know when they started registering time for his age, and it could have been at the fall. So there are differences of opinion there. Some say they register time from creation, and others say they register time for him from the fall because that is actually when mankind started to age.
Does it say, though, that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born?
Let's see what it says. So the first three of what we're going to read today says that. Okay? So the other thing that I'm going to give you when we talk about through this, and we'll do it as we walk through it, we're going to try to get through this whole chapter today. There's no reason to spend lots of time on this chapter because it mostly is a genealogy. Now, what you'll notice about the genealogy that there are two people you've already been introduced to in the Bible that aren't even in here. Who are they? Cain and Abel. Someone said it. Cain and Abel are not in this. We know Abel's dead. We also know Cain, as we finished last week, we know that Cain is now a vagabond and upon the earth and stuff like that. But I remind you, like I've done it over and over again, it's never the Bible's intent to tell you everybody who ever lived. The Bible is not a book of genealogy for everybody who's ever lived. And what is clear here in chapter 5 that he wants to make very clear is that this is the genealogy of promise. This is a genealogy that will lead to a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he would not pollute himself in the world by the name of Noah, who would be saved through a flood. He and his family would be saved through a flood, and the line that would lead to Messiah could continue. And we'll talk a lot about that polluted line and what happened and all that stuff as we get into the next chapter. But it's very important for you to understand this. He wants you to understand. And again, this is the genealogy that you'll find in the New Testament to Jesus that goes from Adam to Jesus. It does not deal with everybody. It doesn't even deal with the two first sons we know of Adam there. It deals with Seth. Seth is the son of promise. He's the son that the line runs through. So keep that in your mind. I know we'd like to know everybody who ever lived, but you don't have time in your own life to read all those names. Yeah. So we have, you know, estimates by the time the flood came around, millions of people on the earth. And you can see, if you lived 900 plus years and procreated that whole time, you can see how that would be possible. And you see it here. My goodness, you see it here. All these guys got to see the first man. And this is only one line. It's not every line. This is only one line. So let's read what it says here. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Now, here's what's true about Adam. He is the only created man. Even Eve was made out of his rib. I would say he's the only created man. Jesus, the Bible says that God prepared a body for him. So the interesting thing about Jesus, there's so many, I don't want to get too deep into that thing, about we know he's not the seed of man. We know he's not the product of procreation in the way that we are. So there's something very unique about Jesus. The other interesting thing I want you to get right here is Jesus said this, unless a man is born again, they shall not see the kingdom of heaven. What happens when you are born again? Well, we were born the first time in sin. But Paul says that now that you are in Jesus Christ, you are a new what?
Creation.
You are a new what?
Creation.
So to merely be born of the procreation process will not allow you access into heaven. You must be born again, or you must be a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want you to get that too. That's why that's the necessity. When someone asks, why do I need to be born again? Because what you are now cannot enter heaven. That's what he said. So there has to be an act of God in your life. That's why he says Jesus didn't come by the will of man, but by the will of God. And unless God recreates us, we can't see how we won't see heaven. So the truth is, everybody who will be in heaven is a created being in that way. Isn't that awesome? So every born-again person is a created being, created in a very interesting, wonderful way by the hands of God, the same way that God created Adam.
And Tony, the next verse says, it's all of God.
It's all of God. That's right. Yeah. So here we have the declaration. He created him, them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind. Okay, in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And again, we already know he had two pre-existing sons before that. And I would just throw this out. We don't know how many other children they had before Seth came along. He's not trying to give you the children that Adam has had to this time. He's the significant ones. The ones that had impact. Certainly, Cain and Abel had an impact upon a lot of things. Okay? We need to know it's important that we know the story of Cain for what's coming on down the line. Okay? So that's why his story is in there. But the other children of Adam and Eve, we don't know. We don't know their story. Although we do know that they, like everybody else, became corrupted by the time of the flood. So, he begot a son, his own like his name is Seth. And after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. Everybody got that? Can you imagine having a child every other year for 800 years? I'm just telling you, it's not possible. But if Teresa came and said, we're going to have a child, you can just bury me right then. Okay. So I like being a papa, but I don't want to be a dad again. So anyway, so you see that the Bible takes care of. Now the name Adam means man. Okay, he's our first father, so it means man. And the name Seth means appointed or appointed one. So Seth is the appointed one of God, just like you remember God did this all throughout the Bible. You have Esau and you have Jacob and you have, you know, and we'd say, well, it must have been Esau. No, it wasn't Esau. God's man was Jacob. And wasn't the firstborn son of Jacob that ended up being the one that would be the appointed one to bring Messiah. It was one on down the line. And not even from, I believe he's not even born from one of his wives, but one of the concubines. But someone got to check me on that one. I don't know. I don't remember who what's the name of the, oh, I just blanked up.
Don't go to me. I wasn't listening.
Okay. the line of Jesus came out of David, the tribe of
Judah.
Thank you. What? Don't get sick. It goes up. So anyway, so we see this promise, okay, that was given us. So all the days of Adam lived, he says in verse 5, were 930 years, and he died. Do you see that on your little chart there? Okay. Again, where does that time start from? It's a great question. The PDF, I don't know for sure. I wouldn't lock it in. It could be from creation or it could be from the fall. I don't know. I believe it's one of those two. Which one it is, I couldn't tell you. Okay. All right. So then, verse 6. Let me get a drink here. Gatorade's a great thing. So. Verse 6. Seth lived 105 years and he begot Enosh. Okay. Again, where's the line? Well, God tells you. By the way, let me just show you how he did this even with Israel very quickly. He gave the covenant to Abraham. Abraham had more than one son, right? Okay. But he restated the covenant through Isaac. Isaac had more than one son, right? But he gave the promise to the son Jacob. So the covenant of God that God gave through to Israel, through these men, was through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not through all the other children, but through those children. Same thing is happening here. God is telling us who is the line, and I would even say this, you'll understand why next time we meet, I'm saying this, the pure line of God, so that would keep the line of Jesus pure. Even pre-flood time. So, Enosh. Enosh means subject to death. Interesting. Interesting little name there. He is subject to death. And it goes on to talk about him. It says that after he begot Enosh, let me finish with Seth. He lived 870 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Now we come to Enosh. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. I guess some would say Kenan. That's not the Canaan that you read about the Israelites dealing with. This is again, Hebrew is an interesting language because it really doesn't have the vowels. You have to plug them in. Most ones are pronounce it or spell it Kenan, so people don't get confused with Canaan. Okay, so he begets Kenan. Enosh lived 850 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Now, what you'll notice here, someone say, "Well, okay, so his name means Enosh means subject to death. So what?" Okay, you can't read too much into this in the sense of, since the Bible don't tell you why he was named that, you can't say for sure why. But what you see here is a progression of man, I think. Even the progression away from perfection. Remember, Adam and Eve were perfect in all their ways. Well, each generation is going to move further and further away from that. And we don't even actually know. I mean, it's interesting. Generations at this time could be 900 years. Our generations are not like that. Okay. So, can you imagine how far men would fall in 900 years? could fall, especially when they walk away from God. So goes on to say, Kenan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And after he begot Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. That's all we know about him. Now, Mahalalel, his son, the one that remains in line, means from the presence of God. From the presence of God. So we have death. We have a movement away from the presence of God. Now, this is not, don't read this necessarily as he's talking specifically about this guy, but their names could be, quite frankly, their names could be very prophetic for what's going on in the world. Everybody understand what I just said? God would use their names as prophecy for what's going on in the world. Not necessarily this is his condition, because again, I remind you, this is part of the line. This is part of the line that leads to Christ. So his name means from the presence of God. Did I tell you what Kenan meant? Did I skip over? His name means sorrowful. Sorrowful. Okay. So you can see the progression away from that the world is moving away from God. By the time Kenan is born, that's 325 years after Adam's birth. Okay, 325 years. So by the time we get to about the just over 1500 years after Adam's birth is when you had a flood. So you can see the progression that's happening here. Okay, so Mahalalel, it goes on to say, Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and begot sons and daughters. Okay, so from the presence of God is what that name means. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Okay. Jared, verse 18. And the name Jared means one comes down. One comes down. I don't want to go crazy on you because my head's going crazy right now, but I think this speaks of what was happening back then, but I also think it speaks about what's going to happen. That which was is. And here's what I mean by that. Even Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And I want you to get the picture here. What happens here? Well, think about it. Tie these things to Jesus. You have mankind. You have the appointed one. You have, again, we are subject to death. We fill ourselves with sorrow. We have moved from the presence of God right before we get to the thing. And then one comes down. Well, who came down? Well, Jesus came down. And then next one talks about, the word Enoch means dedicated one. By the way, what you're going to see is the dedicated ones go up. Okay, let me get to that. So Jared means one comes down. And after he begot Enoch, at 62 years, he begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years. He got sons and daughters. So that all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Okay, so we're Jared now, and he's going to live, 962 years. He's moving closer to the flood as we move down here. All right. So let me see where I'm at. I'm trying to keep up with all these names. I apologize. After the days of Jared, okay. Now verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and he begat Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For God did what? Took him. So Enoch, I told you, means dedicated one. And what happened to Enoch? He's the first man that was ever raptured. the word rapture, I mean, someone will tell you, well, rapture is not even the Bible. Well, it's like someone saying the Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That's right. Nor is the word rapture, unless, of course, you have the Latin Vulgate, then it's in there. Okay? So, but the word rapture, the word rapture just simply means caught up or snatched up. And that concept is clearly in the Bible. Paul used that concept a couple of times, and we have it right here for the first time in the Bible. Now think about it. He walked with God. He was dedicated. He walked with God. And when before God brought judgment, what did he do? He took him. That's our promise, guys. And I know a lot of people don't believe in the rapture. Or certainly people don't believe in the pre-tribulation. Or maybe they believe in one, but they don't believe in pre-tribulation. I hold to this. I hold to what we'll study in Daniel when we get to it and stuff. And actually, for me, it's two Old Testament verses that I use as a pre-tribulation rapture person. This one and the book of Daniel. And then I think they're confirmed clearly in the New Testament. Not everybody believes that and stuff. But you know what? As long as you believe in Jesus, even if you don't believe when the rapture is going to happen, you get to go too. Okay, and we'll tell you on the way up. We told you. So, but, you know, that's not a point of division. That's not a point of, shouldn't be a point of contention. It's not a point of salvation for sure. Anyway, so we see here that God gives us a, think about this, a pre-flood picture that he takes care of those who belong to him or dedicated. So Enoch represents that for us. And so he was walking with God, and then when he got to a certain time, God just took him. By the way, again, I don't want to throw too much in here, but notice how many years he lived on your chart there. Okay, I'll just leave that right there and you can think about it, 365. So, you know, we look at our years and stuff like that. Anyways. By the way, the calendar was not always recorded in 365. It was changed. The Gregorian calendar is the one that has 365 days a year. The Jewish calendar, which is called the lunar calendar, has 360 days a year, 5 days less. And we are so messed up that every 4 years we got to correct it. Go ahead.
And the other thing is with the Jewish calendar, there is, I think, 5,000.
Yes, yes.
To put things in perspective.
Yeah, God doesn't do anything out of order, God. And He's given us information if we would just receive it. And that doesn't mean, again, that information that seems to be veiled, don't go to the mat on it. But clearly, He uses times and He uses, He uses feasts. I mean, even in the coming of Jesus and even the second coming of Jesus are all tied to the seven feasts that he gave to Israel. They're just tied. And you can't just pass them off. There's a reason why the church was established at Passover. It wasn't a coincidence that Jesus died in Jerusalem at Passover. You know, and when God established what they would do at Passover thousands of years before Jesus ever got here, it's not a coincidence that this ungodly group of people and this ungodly nation that didn't even know God would fulfill Passover through Jesus Christ in a way they could not even imagine. So God does that. And he even talks about how he's given us even the heavens. Now be very careful of that because you don't want to get caught into astronomy. Astrology. Astronomy is okay. Don't get caught up into astrology. The heavens are the way God declares things. But not in a way where it predetermines things and tells futures and stuff like that. So everything that's in creation that God has done is there for a purpose. And I believe God reveals himself through that. By the way, I hope you believe that because you are part of that creation and God has set you here to reveal himself through you in other people's lives.
Amen.
Okay? It's all a part of it. So we have Enoch, who was taken. All the days were 365, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah, probably one of the names. If I said, what's the name of people, you know, everybody knows Methuselah, because you've probably been called it already. You're as old as Methuselah. I'm not looking at you, Mary. So, okay. I'll look at Mark. He's old as Methuselah. So,
you bet.
Oh, I was talking at Mark. No, don't point at someone else. He's pointing at you, brother. So, anyway, so Methuselah. It's interesting that Methuselah, again, he is the only ancestor, if you will, of Noah that lived to the flood, other than Noah. Now, when he died, they say he died the year of flood. Let's read and see what it says here. But here's what it says. It says, Methuselah lived 180 years and begot Lamech. Lamech is Noah's dad. So Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. Okay? So after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years, begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, it doesn't, I don't believe, one reason why theologian, I would agree with them on this, do not believe he died in the flood, but died the year of the flood, is that because he's part of the line, he wouldn't have died in the flood. The flood was the, I mean, keep everything consistent. That means that the judgment of God would not fall on the line that leads to Christ. That makes sense to you? You don't have to buy that, but that's my view of that, okay? So Methuselah, that name means dying he shall sin. Is that an interesting name? Dying he shall sin. Now think about that name. The year he died, the flood came. So the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. Okay. Now we have the last in this line that got to meet Grandpa Adam. And that would be Lamech. And Lamech, as I said to you, is Noah's father. And it looks like he would have basically would have been, 50-something years old by the time Adam died. So that would be pretty cool, I think, just to go and sit, you know, at the feet of Adam, talk to him, why'd you mess this up type thing, and that type of thing. But anyway, so Methuselah died. And get that. It's very interesting. He died the year of the flood, and his name actually means dying he shall sin.
No.
Huh?
Is it Lamech or
that's Methuselah. Methuselah outlived Lamech, his own son. Okay. So the year Methuselah died, that's when the flood came. And then we'll go on to say. So Lamech, verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and begot his son. And he named his son Noah. Now the name Noah means rest and comfort. Rest and comfort. What a wonderful name. Okay. And we've already seen before that the ark that we'll talk about is a place of protection, a place, even when the storms are going on outside, a place of peace, a place of comfort. I think it represents for us also, that's the promise we have of Christ Jesus.
Did you have Lamech
was? No, I'll back. Okay. Let me tell you what Lamech means, poor and lowly. And poor and lowly. Okay? And I'm not sure, I can't put that in my head, so why it means that. But that's what the name means. So he had a son named Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. So Lamech is a prophet, or the name that God gave him, what he says about going to bring comfort to who? To us. Now listen to me, the us there is not the world. The us there is a pure line that leads to Christ. There's no comfort for the wicked. Even today, did Jesus come to bring comfort? Well, of course he did. But who does he bring comfort to? Only to those who believe in him. He has no comfort to those who reject him. No comfort at all. Neither was Noah. No comfort at all. But a comfort to those who believed, which were clearly very scarce. Okay. That God's plan would be fulfilled through, ultimately through Noah. And I see that as Lamech's prophecy. God's plan will be fulfilled through Noah because the ground is cursed. In other words, God's going to destroy it all.
I think he suggested poor and lowly would mean humble.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, a humble. Yeah. What a, think about, yeah. If he had this kind of insight, even in the name and stuff, he knew what was coming right around the corner. Yeah.
It's amazing he's saying comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 times the word comfort. 7 chapters, 7 times. So 17 times, 2 chapters. It's for us. Comfort. That's because he wants to know. He gives us comfort. I experience it.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's. Gosh, well, how will we survive without the comfort of God? You know, and you know, I love my Father in heaven because he knows everything, yet he's not callous. You know, even when you get these false gods, these mythological gods and stuff, they all seem to be kind of callous. They don't really care about human beings. They don't care what we're going through. That's not our Father in heaven. He loves us, and he wants us to know comfort, and we're grateful for that, aren't we? So, goes on to say, after that, verse 30 says, after he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Especially for this guy, maybe for all those even prior to that. Can you imagine to know? Maybe even for Noah, to know what's going to happen to all of his. We're not just talking about, certainly we're going to talk about another group that was going on the earth. But even the descendants that are in this line, whose parents are in this line, let me just put it that way. They too shall perish, and they will be ungodly. Isn't the hardest thing to be a parent and know that your kids are not walking with the Lord? There's nothing harder than that on us because we love the Lord, and all we want for them is to know who Jesus is and understand that he just loves them. It's such a hard thing for us. And it is part of the grief we have even as Christian parents. It is a part of the grief that we have. And so, as long as you're breathing, as long as they're breathing, don't ever quit praying for your children that are not walking with the Lord. Matter of fact, pray for your children that are walking with the Lord because they need strength too. So all these children that he just mentioned, apart from Noah, are going to perish. All right. Verse 32, by the way, look at the number that would be. If this is true, this timeline, which it is, okay, this is the timeline that we have here. Again, we always say that Methuselah is the oldest man ever lived. Well, he's the oldest man recorded in the Bible we ever lived. We don't know if other people who are not recorded for us live longer. We don't know that. Okay? But my point is this. If we have Lamech, which is Noah's father, who gets to see Adam, because they live so long in order to do that, imagine the number of people there, okay, just tied to this line. Not tied to every line by the time the flood hits. Now, what we're going to do now, verse 32 says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Were these the only sons of Noah? I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, now, we're going to spend a lot of time in the first part of chapter 6 And because we're going to do that, we're going to jump over. You're going to jump over with me this morning in the moments we have left to chapter 6 and verse 8. And when we get in a couple of weeks, when we get back together, you're going to see why we're going to need to take so much time in that first part of chapter 6. We're going to deal with things that you may not believe. That's okay. You know what? We don't seem to have any problem dealing with the supernatural until it's contrary to something we've been taught all of our lives. And what happens in the first part of chapter 6 is described for us. And by the way, it was happening prior to the time of chapter 6. It's just recorded for us. It is incredible what happened. And the result of what happened has impacted humanity even till today. And we're going to talk about that. And again, we're going to get through that. You're going to say, I don't know if I buy what he says. That's okay. You know, but I'm going to share with you what I really believe. I'm going to try to do a lot of cross-referencing scripture stuff. So you see, I'm not just coming up with some sort of mythological thing. It's in the scripture. And I believe it's clearly in the scripture. And it may open your eyes. It opened my eyes as I've studied for this. Again, it opened my eyes to really not understand, but I can see why things are going on the way they're going on in a way I never could before, including how could people be so evil to do and just put a dot, dot, dot after that. And there are other things going on besides just human beings being bad. And we'll talk about that. All right. But for the time we have left and 10 minutes or so we have left, I want us to talk a little bit more about Noah. So we go down to verse 8 of chapter 6. And if you want to read ahead for next time, we'll go back to verse 1 through verse 7. We will not get through it in one time. I guarantee you we'll not get through it in one time. So verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here we have the first statement in scripture of grace. Not that this is the first experience of grace, because God is a gracious God. Now, when someone tells you, and I hear this all the time, I've even heard preached that, well, God was a God of judgment in the Old Testament and a God of grace in the New Testament. Wrong. Everything that God is, he eternally is. Yes. So God is and always has been a God of grace. But he's also and always has been a God of justice and judgment. You cannot be a God of justice without judgment. The two have to go together. Okay? So that which we know about God, he's not evolving. We've talked about that. He's not developing. So he didn't just sort of grow up and get grace time when we got to the New Testament time, because he was missing it in the Old Testament time. He is eternally who he is, and he is perfectly who he is. So we talk about him being holy and gracious and merciful and just and all those things that we use. They're all completely perfect. And somehow they all fit together perfectly because they're from God. And they're of God. The only time these wonderful things don't fit together perfectly is when mankind corrupts them. You don't have perfect justice inside of heaven. Nor can you know, other than the relationship with God, perfect grace from somebody else. Certainly we give grace to other people, but not the way God does. A lot of times we give grace to people with a hook on it. By the way, if you give grace to people with a hook on it, it's not grace. We just call it that. Okay? So, Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord. Salvation only comes to anybody who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You have been saved by faith through what? Through grace. If God was not gracious toward us, nobody would be saved. And grace means, and we know this, unmerited favor, which means unable to earn or not able to deserve. That's what it means. The unmerited favor of God. And it says Noah found this. Now, we're going to talk about, again, that line is important. Next week, 2 weeks, we'll talk about it, why that line is important and why Noah was chosen. It wasn't due to his goodness or his righteous. We know that Noah wasn't perfectly righteous, yet God's going to call him righteous. saying, look in the mirror. Okay. He was perfect in his time compared to everybody else, but that's not the point. The point is that righteousness is imputed to those who trust in God. Okay. You are not righteous, and God came and said, hey, you're righteous. Let me be mine. God came and he said, be mine and I'll make you righteous. Okay, that's part of the grace of God. So when we see that with Noah, he found grace of God. And verse 9 says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. The word perfect there scares us, but it means blameless. He was blameless in his generation. In other words, in his generation, there was no man like Noah. No man like Noah. Okay? Doesn't mean that he was sinless. Doesn't mean that he was perfect in that sense. But it does say, the next part is just a wonderful statement. Noah walked with God. You understand that that's what it's all about? I've said this so often. It's not about a religion. It's not about a denomination. It's not about an experience. It is a relationship where you and I get to walk with God. It's an amazing thing. God walks with me and God walks with you. Why would he bother? I don't know. But why? Because he's gracious. So there's nothing, you know, if you ever want an epitaph put on your gravestones, there's an epitaph. So-and-so walked with God. You know, so Noah walked with God. And it goes on, and this is the way Moses did it. We've already been told he begot sons, but you know, Moses always goes back and fills in the details. So it says here that Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And we'll talk about that next time, where that came from, what happened. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh corrupted their way on the earth. Look what it says there. All flesh. All flesh. Because I've had people tell me, I just don't think it's fair. What don't you think is fair? I don't think it's fair that God would destroy everybody like that. Well, you know, I can turn around. I don't think it's fair that God saved Ken.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Or why did God save me? That's not fair. What's not fair is Jesus going to the cross and dying on the cross and be punished for sin that he didn't commit. That's not fair. We don't. By the way, don't ever, someone told me, I'm just going to walk up to God when I get to heaven and just tell him, give me what's fair. No, you don't. Don't say that. Don't say that. Nobody will say that to God. They say it this side of heaven. They'll never say that to God. Okay? So, again, the whole earth was filled with corruption and violence. Now, when we talk about this in a couple weeks, you're going to see what he's talking about here. But the other thing I want you to see, this will tie into the question that people have over and over again. Well, why did God tell the Israelites to go in and completely destroy this people? There's more to it than just they weren't Israelites. And we'll talk about that. We'll get there. If I forget, remind me. Okay. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them in the earth. So what's he do? What does God always do before he brings judgment? He speaks to his man. Prophet Amos said that God does nothing unless first he speaks to the prophets. Why? We're talking about Old Testament. Well, you can say New Testament too, because he's already spoken to the prophets there too. Why? Because the prophets were set aside by God, for God, to share the word of God to the people. And God's not just this mean being up there who says, well, I'm tired of him, I'm going to destroy him. He gives them plenty of warning. And even though all flesh is corrupt, we're gonna see that still God is still warning them. Still tell them, come on into the ark. Okay? It's like today. And it will be like it is in the tribulation. Will there be people saved in the tribulation? Yes. But not as many as you might think. Because they're not going to believe. oh, the world's been so good. The world's never been better. The world's falling apart all around there, and they're so delusional, they think it's never been better. Sound familiar to you?
Yeah,
we're not even in the tribulation yet, and it's already that way. People don't even know what they are anymore. It's an incredible time we live in. The delusion and the deception is just so great upon the earth, but it's going to increase. Where you could sit there and look at something, you know what? That's a chair. Well, no, it's not a chair. Well, that's a chair. No, it's not a chair. That's a refrigerator. And we laugh at that. That's how crazy it's gotten in so many ways. So we stop there this morning, and we see in verse 13, God says, I'm going to destroy the earth and all flesh that's in it. When we meet in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how the world got to this place. The first seven verses of chapter 6 will tell us that. Now, but I want to remind you how Moses writes. This has been going on. What we're going to talk about has been going on since the fall. It's just that by the time we get to Noah's time, it's become completely corrupt, where there is no flesh upon the earth except for Noah that remains pure. And we'll talk about what that is. Okay? Glad you're here today. I'll see you in a couple weeks. I'll see you before that. Huh? Oh, yeah, I'll brag. I'll brag about the one I missed, even if I don't bring one back. So, anyway, this Mark, voice our prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for an exciting time in your word. I believe we've all learned a lot, and I pray that we will indeed grow closer to you and walk with you as these great men of God did. Father God, now the rest of this day, let us go in joy and in peace. Father God, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Eli, we'll see you all later. Sorry for the mess up. Hopefully we got it. Hey, I think we have some time.